Good morning. I'm glad to be with you here today at this hour. It's the evening in Kenya. We have seven time zones, so it should be about 5 o'clock or 6, I don't know.
Not preaching till then.
I want to say I'm so glad to be with you here and just share the love of Christ. See, the word of God says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we are here together as one nation, breaking the bread of life, hearing what the Lord is saying to us, following his ways in our lives. Amen. I want to share with you a message that is interesting. The title is, How is Your Day? And when we finish, I think we should be able to answer that question. How is our day? If you would please stand with me to the book of Hebrews. My English is a bit different from yours. We speak British English with accent. We have about 42 tribes in Kenya. And sometimes it's a challenge. We have to think. Sometimes I'll be thinking, from a particular tribe and then I answer in English or Swahili. So we speak a lot of languages in Kenya. I speak about 6. I understand about 6 of them. So if there is a college here, I can teach a language. Amen. Praise God. All right. The book of Hebrews, we begin to read from chapter 3. Later on, we shall come to chapter 11. And also, we will be looking at Romans chapter 4, from verse 17 to 20. So, if you just can turn into those chapters very quickly, and then we hear what the Lord has for us today. Amen. Father, we are so thankful today for hearing your word and just sharing the bread of life. We pray that, Lord God, you will give us the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Chapter 3 of Hebrews. From verse 7 it says, so as the Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. If you can flip over to chapter 11, where it gives us a definition of what faith is. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for by faith, or by faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. And then the final reading will be in Romans chapter 4, and then we will be able to connect these verses in a few thoughts that God has laid in my heart. In verse 17, he says, as it is written, Romans chapter 4, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. Against hope, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, And so he became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your seed be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver from unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, giving and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Lord, we thank you for your word again. May you bless us as we share, in Jesus' name. How is your day? See, when we're talking about the day here, we are not just talking about time. We are talking about the season of God. God does not work within 24-hour clock. He works in season. And here, when the writer of Hebrews was writing to the Christians, wherever they were, he told them, please remember this. God gave the children of Abraham a season of 40 years. And out of this season of 40 years, the writer says they complained, they erred in all their ways, they never brought or gave God the glory. And therefore he tells us, therefore, can you know ye people of God, that God has set a time that is called today. That if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. Because every voice of the Lord coming to us sets a new season for our lives. Gives us an opportunity to come from where we are in our weaknesses, in our fears, in our troubles, in our sufferings. And he leads us. And I thank God because his leading is different. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, according to David. So as we look into this, we realize that even as we are gathering today here, each one of us, God has given us a season. There is one major season of your life, and that is from the time the chapter of your life was opened, and may I say unto you, or unto us, that chapter is going to close someday. There are also other mini seasons that God opens to us within the bigger season. And in each of those mini seasons, the Lord leads us in a certain way. But I want us to talk about this big season that the Lord has given us. The opening of our lives and the closure of our lives. Now, we don't know when this one comes. Thank God. I was trying to make, having some little humor at home, and I said, if it were true that death would announce itself in hospitals and says, behold, I come, and I will get the laziest, many people will be healed. Many people would be healed. They will run. Even the old people, some of them will pass us, some young people. God, because we fear death. That is a mystery. But thank God, because the Bible talks about life after that, we know where we are going and we know whom we are going to see. The emphasis should not be so much about where we are going. We know where we are going. But how is our day? How are we responding to the calling of God upon our lives? What is the Lord saying to us? as we go to work, as we go to bed, as we rise up, as we do our businesses, as we drive, as we bring up our children, or even take care of our parents. How is your day? Now, as we read in the book of Hebrews, again in chapter 11, we are given a chapter whereby we are told, in this chapter, we kind of are informed that we are not the only people who have been given a chance. There were men, there were women who were given a chance to rise up in their days. Now it begins by definition. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One, by it the elders obtained a good report. Whatever word that was laid upon these people that are quoted there, they held that word before the Lord and they rose in their day and they wrote a story in their life, within their lives, of what God was saying or the direction that God was taking them in the particular, in a particular way. Abraham is one of them. Isaac is one of them. Jacob. Then we go to others. There's one person that I like so much. We may not like him because he did not have very good results. His name is Noah. He preached for 120 years without good results. He would have been chased away from many churches, including Cornerstone. Show us the results. You know, we are result oriented. You know, we want to see things. We want to, you know, we want to know what we want to do, how to do it. Then we want to do it. We want to see results. But here is a man who listened to the voice of God. He listened to the instruction of God in his life. God tells him, go to the woods. Cut a beam. Cut beams in this manner. This size. Some of them had to be cut, chopped in a certain way. Then he kept on joining them. Can you imagine building a ship in a desert? You know, when they are doing that, they are building ships, they have to be near water to test their flotation. But this man listened to the voice of God. The details of God are true. Praise the Lord. He does not lead us astray. He did it so well. It was not trial and error. When you are going to the moon, you have so many signals. Supposedly this one fails, we shall touch this one. If this one fails, we shall push this button. There were no trials and errors. He listened to what God was saying in his day. He built a ship that was able to bring salvation to him, to his family, to elephants of Africa, giraffes, all the animals. That's a very big story. He wrote a story in his life that he listened to the Lord for 120 years. Now look at a man by the name Abel. You call him Abel. We call him Abel in Kenya. His style of worship was so different. He knew his calling was to worship God. Now, whenever they went to worship the Lord, they had to offer a sacrifice. So his brother is on one side, he is on the other side. His brother is so much in a hurry that he left even some things still burning, not consumed. But this man stood in the presence of the Lord. He turned that sacrifice before the Lord until it was fully consumed. It was not just going to a worship service. It was a lifestyle. His worship was a lifestyle in the life of this man. And the Bible says, God gave him a credit of righteousness. Another one that we see is Enoch. You call him Enoch here. Enoch. His life. Look at his life. At 65 as a young man, he realized he had business to do. He had a business to accomplish in his life. He got married at the age of 65 while the rest were getting married at 300 some years. He knew that he had business to do here on earth. Got married, and the Bible says he walked with God. There was a lifestyle. He was in the footstep of his master. He was there where God wanted him to be, when he wanted him to be there. And the Bible says he walked with him until he was not, because he became one with the Lord. And that action became a symbol of what we are waiting at the end of our seasons. At the end of our season, to be with the Lord. The Lord took him. The Bible says God, first of all, gave him a credit of righteousness. But there's also something else about Noah, Abel, that we don't see so much. And this is about his preaching. He was one of the greatest preachers ever lived. You can only see that in the New Testament, in the book of Jude. The Bible says that he stood up and said, "Behold, the Lord cometh." Amen. He talked about spiritual warfare. He was a man that walked in tune with God. He wrote a story of his life. How is your day? Let me just give you another one, then I come to my main sermon, which is very short. So please don't fear. You see, whenever we are not walking in our ways, in the ways of God, we will miss the mark. And we may appear like we are all right, but we will be doing the story of Jonah in our lives. You know the Jonah in the Bible? The Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah in his day. And they said, "Arise, go to Nineveh." Nineveh was up. "Cry out against them. Speak out, because I have people in that nation." The Bible says, because of the condition of his heart, this man, just read the story of Jonah. It's very interesting. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. Joppa was a missionary center in the New Testament. This is where Peter received a call to the nation. He missed it. He went down into the ship. He went down into the bottom of the ship. He went down to sleep. The story is interesting. He went down to the what? To the ocean. He went down to the belly of the ship. This thing is not obeying me. You, sir?
Yes. It's secret.
He went down, 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 down into the ocean, and the fish went down into the foundation of waters. He was very far from the purpose of God in his life. May the Lord help us. This man, Abraham, the Bible says when the Lord spoke to him. Oh, I'm going to give you a few points about that before I wind up. The Lord spoke. The word Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, whenever the Lord speaks to us, he will be saying something. He will be calling us into something. He says, leave your people, leave your country, leave you on. Just leave to the land that I will show you. And the Bible says he left. In the story of Abraham, there are so many teachings. One of the teachings of Abraham is faith. He believed. The other teachings of Abraham is righteousness. He did what the Lord required of him. And the Bible says God gave him the credit of righteousness. The other one is blessing. that through Abraham, Jesus came. And he is manifested, as it is said in the book of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was in the beginning together with God. All things were created by him. Without him, nothing made that was made. In him was life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So later on, Paul begins to speak about this Word. He talks about the blessing that this Word has brought. He's talking about Jesus. In Ephesians, he says, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We are blessed through Christ. We are lifted up through Christ. We have been established. We have been given a credit of righteousness through Christ. Every call of God upon our lives will have to deal with some fears in our hearts. I imagine what was the fear of this man, Jonah. These Assyrians, they're terrible. They've been giving us a hard time. They were better off if somebody came and destroyed them. But the Word said, go there because I have some people. I still have my people in that great nation, in that nation that is so wicked. He feared that if he went there, he would have been killed or destroyed, whatever the case. There were so many fears in these people that God spoke to them. Sometimes, you know, when you read the Word of God, it appears like it's so automatic. The Word of the Lord came to Jonah. Okay, this and that and that. It is done. The Lord told Noah to build an ark and it is done. It's a process. There is mind. There is a heart. There is a family. There are things to sacrifice. There are fears ahead. So many questions unanswered. And these men and women walked and went through in obedience to God. You know, he has to take us in his calling to take us through our fears and to deliver us from our fears. Listen to what David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." That's a good place. "He leads me beside still waters." That is also a nice place. "His staff and his what? They comfort me." That is not very bad. Now let's come to the time of danger. Verse 4. "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now that is easier said than done. Particularly when it becomes experiential. You are going through that. There are questions that you don't have no answer. There are so many needs and there are no supplies. There are many people who are not seeing what you see. There are people who are not hearing what you hear. There are people speaking against you, going through fear. But it is when you are in that fear that the Lord delivers us from fear. Bible says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Brothers and sisters, may I say to you, may I submit it to you, in whatever situation you are, the Lord is with you. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." It is right in our fears that the Lord shows himself, that a story of provision is written, that a story of protection is written, that a story of healing is written. Through our fears, when we are going through pain in our bodies, then he comes and he heals us. He delivers us from fear. He shows his ability that he is the Lord that healeth us.
praise the name of the Lord. And I want to say here, I sense in my heart that many of us, or some of us, are going through fears. The word of God comes to us. He will lead us through our fears. And He will deliver us from our fears. He is the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Whenever I came to know the Lord, I was in Islam. I was rooted in Islam. My parents were separate for many years, and this Muslim family came and adopted me, brought me into, and they gave me life. Because whenever my parents were separated, I was kicked out of the house. I went out of the home. I went into, I was living in a junkyard, and my life was going in a very wrong direction. Here comes a Muslim family that came and just took me, loved me as I was, gave me clothes, gave me food, gave me shelter, and they actually gave me their name. Because I became a son in that family. I was a son in that family, and that's what they took me for. So I hear the gospel in 1973. Somebody invites me to go to church. We say church in Kenya. He invites me to go to church. I gave my life to the Lord. Coming home, I told my foster parents, I went to church and I gave my heart to the Lord. They almost dropped dead. And for 1 week I was given counseling. I was taken to the imam, the Muslim teachers, the Islamic faith teachers. There is only one God, Allah. Muhammad is his prophet. Never mention the name of Isa here again. If you are to be our son, then there is no compromise in this situation. So come next Sunday, I sneaked out again. I went to church. And there was such a tremendous move of God. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the pastor announced the evening meeting that was going to take place around 6 o'clock. I waited for it. I didn't care about lunch. There was no agenda of food. Came back home around 9:30. And my parents were standing at the door. And the first question was, before I said anything, did you go to church? I said, yes. Then they told me, you've got to make a decision here and now. You deny Isa and you are our son. You deny Muhammad and you walk out of that door here and now. Then fear gripped into my heart. Where will I be sleeping? Where will I be staying? What will I be eating? My life was good. My life is headed towards the right direction. But inside of me, there is a change. Inside of me, there is something that God has put in my heart that I cannot deny, that there is a tremendous change. I was right there in my fears. I made the right decision. I said, I will follow Jesus. And I was shown that door. I went out to the junkyard again, but with somebody in my heart. And then the Lord led me through my fears. He provided, He made a way. Right there in those junkyards, He brought in a call in my life. He told me, I will send you to the nations. Send you to the world. I was not very educated. I educated myself. I homeschooled myself. God has opened a door for me. What God said about me has come to pass. I have been to many countries preaching the gospel. I've been to Tanzania, I've been to Uganda, I've been to Congo, I've been to Zambia, I've been to South Africa, I've been to Botswana, I've been to all the southern states. I've been to England, I've been to Holland, I've been to I've been to India, I've been to Eastern Europe, preaching the gospel. God has led me through my fears to deliver me from my fears. And I want to say to us here, in our day, whatever the Lord brings to us becomes like a pivot point. We obey, and then he begins to lead us through our fears in order to deliver us from our fears. Now, some of the surprises will come in so quickly. Others may come gradually. Sometimes you may find our walls, our world almost crumbling. You realize now, you like the world is coming to squeeze you. But right in the midst of that, you'll be able to see the Lord. One particular day I remember, this is after I got married. We did not have money. We did not have food. I know you have heard those stories in Africa, and I'm telling you, they are true. They are true. I woke up very early in the morning, around 2 o'clock, just to prepare a message. So I wondered, okay, we don't have food. I think we had only something little for breakfast. And after that, what remained was either tea leaves or salt, one of the two. So I prepared a message. I will teach them. I will show them. I will explain to them the meaning of supporting the servants of God. And I put that message so nicely. The title, the introduction, the proposition, point one, point two, conclusion, application. Put it so neatly. You know, as a person who was smart, had gone to Bible school. By 6 o'clock in the morning, the Lord blew the message away. It's not according to our ways, it's according to his ways. My ways are not your ways. Amen. He is not going to lead us out of our fears through our ways. It's through his ways. So we went out in the church, and I preached from the book of Revelation. We were about 50, 60, 70 people. I stood at the doors. People were going out, greeted them. God bless you. Let's meet in the evening. And somebody gave me what we call in Africa, Pentecostal handshake. There was something little. I didn't know what it was. I put it there. Satan was trying to put everything in my heart, mind here. What are you going to eat? What are you going to do now? I told him, without knowing what was in my hand, this is how God is going to make it. This is how God is going to supply. He shall supply my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I went home and I just stretched my hand and I told my wife, lunch. Sure, it was just enough for lunch. So we prepared lunch. We bought a little piece of meat and a little everything here. And my wife knows how to connect those things. And we had lunch. And again, there was nothing. So there is evening. That evening, I went out. This time I was invigorated. I was, you know, the Lord did it. He will do it again. So I preached from that. And I remember I just preached from a phrase that says, but God. And God really gave me revelation. But God. But then when I finished, I stood up there and greeted everybody to the last person. And there was no Pentecostal handshake. We went to the house, stood there. I was there, but I was not there. Because as a man of the house, you know, you have got to provide. And the Lord had told me that month not to borrow, not to go asking for people to give me. He was going to be my provider. 7 o'clock, 7:30, somewhere there, we see a family coming, knocking. They were panting and sweaty. When they knocked the door, they said, you know, we had prayed that today you will not cook your food because we have already prepared a meal for us. We said, we are going to eat together. We want to be blessed. We say, oh, yes, welcome. This is good. We never shared our problem.
We never told them what we were doing, what was going on. My children were too young to understand. Now they are big, 25, 30, and 37. So, food was there. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He will lead us through our fears to deliver us from our fear. How is your day? As I wind up, now preachers have a problem in finishing sermons. Before I finish, as I end, my final point, this one thought. I think that one comes to us so much, isn't it? As I wind up, as I finish, one more point, etc., etc. Allow me just to say this. Whenever the Lord spoke to Abraham, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 4 that Abraham knew how to write a story or his story in his day. How did he write it? If you follow from verse 17, in King James Version, the Bible says, in the presence of him whom he believed. Number one, Abraham found his resting place in the presence of the Lord. God called him. He told him to leave. He told him that he was going to become a father of many nations. And that was enough. The rest was, I want just to be in his presence. Do you know, brothers and sisters, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is guidance. In the presence of the Lord, there will be a revelation of who he is. And this is what Paul was praying for in Ephesians chapter 1, when he says, verse 17, that the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18 says that the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, you may be able to comprehend, to understand that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that raised us from our sins. He is able. So Abraham built a citadel. He built a house right in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he knew several things. Number one, he's the one who quickens the dead. He's the only one who is able to do it. Sarah was more than 90 years. She had gone beyond the point of expecting a miracle, you know. Have you ever been in a situation and say, whether it happens or not, I don't care. She was there, could not be able to have a child. But he says here, in the presence of him who he believed, one who quickens the dead, the Spirit of the Lord will quicken our hearts. The Spirit of the Lord will make us the areas that are dead in our lives to become alive again. Number three, in the presence of him whom he believed, who calls those things that are not as though they are. You know, to somebody like Jeremiah, a person that could not be able to speak, he says, send somebody else, I'm not able. God told him, before you were formed in your mother's womb, can we use today's language? Before the marriage and the union of your parents, I knew you. Brothers and sisters, the Lord knows us. The Lord knows the path we take. All what we have to do is just to align ourselves in his plan. Let your will be done, O Lord. Amen. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And that's why he called him a prophet unto the nation. Verse 18, he against hope
believed in hope. Where there was no hope, he built his hope there. That he might become, what are we becoming in our day? What are you becoming? Are you going to become a missionary? Are you becoming a man or a woman of the world? What are we becoming in the things of God? That he might become what the Lord had purposed for him. He was not weak in faith, the Bible says. He gave glory to God in his life because he knew in his season, in his day, I am where he wants me to be. Sometimes things will be difficult. Sometimes things will be hard. But I'm going just to remain there. He was fully persuaded. He knew that what God had promised was able to perform it, was able to make it, was able to bring it, was able to make it come to pass. It's like Paul when he says, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded. I've gone beyond any school of encouragement. I don't need persuasion. I know he will make a way for me. I know his banner is over me. I know I'm standing on a holy ground. I know he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I know even when I am going through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. I know the devil is defeated. I know my position in Christ. I know the Bible says he has quickened me. You he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. I know I am raised together with Christ and seated together with him in the heavenlies. I know if a person is in Christ is a new creature. I know I am an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Lord is with me. I know he will never forsake me. He was fully persuaded. Brothers and sisters, this is not just the Bible. This is the voice of God. And we need to be convinced. We need to know, like Paul did, that whatever we have committed to him, he is able to take care. Did God come? Yes, he came. And when he comes, he will cause a laughter in our lives. Can you imagine that lady Sarah, the age of 90? Who is 90 years old here? Just let's use our imagination. Can you imagine a 90-year-old carrying a baby? Leave about bearing. It will cause a concern in the community. Do you know what? She is pregnant. What? Yeah. She is expectant. They did not have cesarean there that time. And they saw the pregnancy growing to the time of that pregnancy becoming productive. Where is she going to get strength to push that child and bring that child, bring that miracle in the world? If the Lord was able to bring, to create that miracle, the Lord is going to give us strength to carry that miracle. Amen. I said amen. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may you come in a place where you'll be able to answer. I know what the Lord is saying to me today. I know I am in the path of righteousness. I know I am where the Lord wants me to be. I know I'm writing a story of my life. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. If the Lord brings a word, and I feel the Lord has brought in a word to you, if the Lord brings out a word, He wants you to rise up to it. It's going to create a mini season, and it's going to be a part of your greater season. So that even if you are 80 or 90 or 100, you know where you are. By the time or by the close of that season, you are doing the will of God. A lady came to this man, Bonke, Reinhard Bonke. He said, "Why did the Lord call me at my young age?" And the question, the answer, the Lord gave that man of God a revelation. He told him, "You see, in life or in the matters of the things of God, it's not about how long you have been on the job, but how deep you are able to plow. Wherever we are, let us rise up in our day. Let us do something. Let us write something with our lives. When we die, according to Miles Monroe, let us die empty, having done, having fulfilled what the Lord intended for us." Father, we are so thankful that, Lord God, you can speak to us in the simplicity of yourself, O Jehovah God. That, Lord God, we may rise because you want us to rise. You want us to obey. You want us to be in your purpose and in your plan. I pray that, God, you strengthen us, O Father. Some of us have fears. We have not even begun yet. I pray that, Lord God, you will help us to turn our fears to you and to allow you, O God, to lead us through our fears. That, God, in our lives, a story of your purpose will be written for your own glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Would you please stand?